to just be able to share our hearts, to share our praise, to let you know of the abundant love that we have for you. And let it not just be when we're here on Sundays, throughout the week. Let it just be so filled, us so filled with your praise, so filled with our love for you, that it just pours out of us. Let it be that we're just going through our day and songs like we just sang, even the songs that you give us, those songs just pour out of us because we love you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the promises that you've given us. We thank you that you give us opportunities every day to glorify your name and to bring glory to you. We praise you because you are worthy of praise. We could stand here throughout the rest of this morning and throughout the rest of today and just praise you, and it would still not be enough to express all that's in our hearts. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Jesus. Now you have your way this morning. In the Word, you have your way. In each one of our hearts, you have your way. Your Word does not return void. So we just thank you and praise you for that. We're ready to receive. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Everybody good this morning? So what was the weather out like in your guys' area? Not good, huh? Well, it's good to see. It's like I said, some of you weren't here yet when I said this. Last year, every time there was snow last year, it was always on Saturday night or Sunday morning. So I'm glad to see you guys are here. Good to have you. Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the very powerful reality that the duty is ours. And the results are His. The duty is ours, the results are God's. Don't stress over the results. Just do your duty, and the results are in His hands. Now that, of course, leads to the question, what then is our duty? What is our duty to Him? Well, when those who are following Jesus, when they ask Him, what is it that God, what's the work that God requires from us? Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse number 29. This is from the Amplified Bible. I love this. Jesus replied, "This is the work, the service that God asks of you." This is pretty simple. That you believe in the one who He sent. That you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in His messenger. That's the duty that's before us. Now, last week we were looking and we saw that it's hard for us to do our duty. Our duty to believe in Jesus and to believe in His word. It's hard for us to do our duty when the things in this life tell us something contrary to the Word of God. It's hard to do our duty and believe when the things in this life tell us something contrary to the things that we expect to hear from the Word of God. It's hard to do the duty at that point. And we saw the example last week from John the Baptist. And in John the Baptist, if you remember, John was in prison. And when John was in prison, he sent two of his disciples to go ask Jesus. And they ask of Jesus, "Are you the one that was prophesied about? Are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for another?" Now, I said this last week, I repeat it again, because even as I say that, it still is stunning to me that this man, John the Baptist, this man of great faith, this man who knew from the time he was born, he knew who he was and he knew his role. This man exemplified faith all throughout his life and did. Imagine the faith it takes to know that you are the one that was spoken of prophetically. Imagine to be able to go out in the wilderness and to stand and preach the word. Because you're preaching to sand. Yet you're giving the word and people start to come. John the Baptist had amazing faith. And yet, and this is why it's stunning, even John doubted. As happens, when we face results in our lives that are contrary to the word and contrary to the promises that we know. We ended last week by looking and seeing that Jesus answered John's doubts. He answered John's doubts by giving John the word of God. And we ended last week with that and with this knowledge, so that we should always know that when things in this life, the things in your life, when they don't line up with the word of God, stand on the word. Speak the word. Speak the word in faith. and the things of this world will line up with the Word of God. Now, most of the verses, most of the biblical text that we looked at last week came from the book of Matthew. It was from Matthew chapter 11 for the most part. And as we were looking at that, we saw that, we read there that Jesus, after he gave John's disciples his response of the word, after he gave that to John's disciples, we saw that the result of that was that he also told John's disciples to go and to report to John the things that they had witnessed while Jesus was teaching to the crowds. And here's what it says. I'm going to read this to you from the New King James Version. This is Matthew 11, verses 4 through 6. So Jesus gave the answer. He gave the word. He responded to John's disciples. And he said, "Tell John, report what you witnessed." This is what they witnessed. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go tell John the things that you heard and see. The blind see, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." We went into detail and looked at all those things last week. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Here's what the disciples of John saw. What they saw was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of what Messiah would do. That's what they saw. And remember last week, we also saw that the Bible makes it clear. Makes it clear that the disciples of John saw and witnessed Jesus teaching to the crowd. Now that was important. I want you to remember this part. Because we looked at that word teaching in the Greek. And that word teaching, when Jesus was teaching, what the witnesses, what John's disciples witnessed, teaching, it means to give instruction in the word from his own mouth. Remember that. Because here's the first lesson that John's going to learn from prison. And it's a lesson for you and I every day of our lives. When we struggle because we stand on the Word of God, ever been there? When we struggle because we stand on the Word of God, but we don't see the results. This is the first lesson that John got, and it had to do with teaching. Let's look at this verse, a very familiar verse. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, we all know that it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Right? I want you to look at this, but look at it from the Amplified Bible. And remember what I just told you about what teaching means when Jesus was teaching to the crowds. "So faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself." When you read the word, you are reading his own mouth. You're reading from his own mouth the promises and the perfections of his own word. When you are in John's prison of doubt because the circumstances of your life are saying something different than the word, when you're in that prison of doubt that John found himself in because the circumstances of life are not matching up to the word, don't just read the word, read the word. But don't just read the word out loud. Speak the word from his lips to your lips with life and power. It was about 9 years ago that I got that eviction notice from Yes FM, and I told you guys the story before. God worked it all out. It was amazing how he did it. But when it was getting to that crunch time, I was desperate and I was frustrated. And what I did, I took the word of God and I let the Holy Spirit show me and lead me. And I found about 6 different verses in less than 10 minutes. I found 6 different verses that I could stand on. And I went outside to our property and I walked around our property and I prayed out loud. And I spoke those verses that the Holy Spirit gave me. I spoke the word itself. I spoke the word so that my neighbors, if their windows were down, they knew the promises of the word of God that I was standing on. Your duty when you're in that prison of doubt and uncertainty, your duty is to speak the word of God. Speak the word. Speak the word and speak it out loud. Speak the word and continue to speak the word. Because remember the other thing that we learned last week when Jesus was speaking to the crowds. We already looked at the one thing. The one thing was teaching. In the Greek, it says teaching is giving instructions in the word from his own mouth. But the other word there is preaching. And in the Greek, we saw that preaching means to proclaim the word ahead. That's awesome. Wake up. That's awesome. Proclaim the word ahead. When you speak the word of God, you find the promises that are in here. You speak the word of God, you are proclaiming his word ahead of you. You know, physicists will tell you that the laws of physics suggest time travel is impossible. I say that's incorrect because they're only looking at it from the natural realm. True, you may not be able to travel ahead in time, but you can certainly send the power of the word ahead of you. As you speak it, you are sending, you're proclaiming the word ahead of you. Send the word of God in power ahead of you. Send it into the future so that it's already there waiting for you when you arrive. You know, we spent all this time talking about Asaph and the sons and daughters of Asaph and how we can have that praise forward. This is another element of it. Send the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Don't just read the word. Read the word out loud. Speak the word out loud. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak the word. I'll tell you what. It proclaims the word forward, but it does something in here too. When I hear the word of God, even if it's my voice speaking it, when I hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing. Even if it's just hearing my voice, I'm stirring the faith in myself. And I'm sending that word. I'm sending it ahead of me. So let's go back to that example of John in prison. So John is in prison, and he has just answered, John's in prison, and Jesus just answered John's question. He answered his question by fulfilling the word. He fulfilled the word. That was John's answer. John questioned, "Are you the one?" Jesus answered and said, "Yeah, I am." He showed him that by demonstrating the word, fulfilling the word of Isaiah. That's what John needed to hear. That's what we need. We need the word of God in our lives. I'm telling you that when the circumstances of your life deceitfully tell you that the word of God is not working, you stand on the word. You speak the word in faith, and you keep standing on the word. And the circumstances will eventually line up with the word. You believe that? I believe that. I know that. I know because I've experienced it many times in my life. But here's where people sometimes get lost. Because they read this and they read that Jesus gave his response to John's disciples. And then after that, they read ahead and they read what the end result was for John. Anybody think of that last week when we were talking about John? That cross anybody's mind? They read that and they see the end result for John was John died. Lost his head. It makes people think, well, wait a minute. Can I trust the word of God in my life with certainty? Can I do that? Yeah. Yes, because the word works. The word always works. The word always works if we continue to stand on the word. Speak the word of God. Cleave to him. Trust in, rely on, and have faith in him, in Jesus, who is the word. The word always works. The word will always come through, period. No exceptions. End of the matter. The word works. But what about John the Baptist? You're going to see that what happened to John the Baptist has nothing to do with you and your stand on the word of God. You believe me? I'll show you that. Nothing that happened to John the Baptist has anything to do with you when you stand on the word of God. Because you and I have a whole different covenant. We serve a victorious Jesus. Times were different with him. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. We looked at these verses last week. I just want to read the first six verses to you, then I want to pick it up from there. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent to his disciples, and he said to them, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Jesus answers John's question. Jesus says, "Yes, I am the promised Messiah." And he answers the question by fulfilling the word that John himself knew. Remember, John knew the word of God, and John knew Isaiah. And what Jesus did is he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So Jesus answers John's question by fulfilling the word that John knew. But there's more. That's why verse 6 is so important. Because Jesus went further. Jesus gave John a specific word that John himself could stand on for deliverance. Look at verse number 6. I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. These are the final instructions that Jesus gives to John's disciples to report back to John. "And blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth." Jesus is telling John, he's saying, blessed is the man who doesn't stumble because of the word, which is Jesus. The word that we see there for offense, offense in this context means this: to not reject the truth of the word. And the word blessed, there's two parts to this. I'm going to look at the first part of this now. We'll look at the second part later. But part of what blessed means, and what it means is we see it specifically for what we're talking about right now. Blessed means to possess the favor of God. So John's being told, do not reject the truth of the word. And he's being told, if you do not reject the truth of the word, if you receive the word, you will be blessed. You will possess the favor of God. Jesus is saying, believe the word. Stand on the word. And you will experience and you will possess my favor, my promises. He's speaking about his victories. This is a word you can stand on. This is a word that John could stand on for his deliverance. You can take any promise in the word of God. You can take any promise and you can stand on it. And if you continue to stand on it, the circumstances will eventually line up with the word of God. It is the only possible outcome if you continue to stand on the word. I believe, for example, you can take the promises from Psalm 91. Everybody loves Psalm 91, right? You can take the promises from Psalm 91 that promise your safety, your protection. You can stand on the word in Psalm 91 and you can believe for your deliverance from harm. Let's read those verses. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Someday, we're going to go through Psalm 91. We're going to look at what these things say and the depth of what's said here. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." This is a promise. "Surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the enemy and from any pestilence that this world might bring." Thank you. "He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." These are promises for you that you can stand on. It's the word of God. "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's a promise that you can stand on and you can believe. We love those verses, right? I mean, everybody, when I said Psalm 91, you all knew exactly what was coming, right? We all love those verses. We speak them, but do we believe them? Yes, that's a good answer. Because sometimes people rationalize. And the first thing they say is, but wait, Paul, Peter, Stephen was stoned. Almost every disciple died and they had the word. Why weren't their lives spared? And it makes people stop and question and think, can I trust the word? Can I trust the word for my life? Can I speak the word, stand on the word, and trust the word for my life? How do we answer that question? You know, one of the things I always tell people, the best way to understand the word, you can get into a lot of discussions, you can get into what other people think and speculate. The best way to understand the word is let the word explain the word. If you know the word will always explain itself. So all throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we are told time and again that God gives us choices. We have choices in everything, right? Choose you this day. You can see, do I need to go through all the verses? Or will you accept it? You accept the fact that God gives us choices. He gives us choices in all things. He doesn't force anything on you. He doesn't even force salvation on us, right? God gives us choices. So if God gives us choices, then, with that consideration, think about this. Think about John chapter 15, verse number 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his own life for his friends. I suggest and I submit to each one of you that each one of these men that we're talking about, each one of these men, they loved Jesus. They served Jesus. They honored Jesus first with their lives. Each of these men lived their lives following the example of Jesus Christ. So when the opportunity arose that they might lay down their lives to glorify Jesus Christ, they did so of their own choice. You think Psalm 91 didn't apply to these men? Of course it did. These men knew Psalm 91. They knew the promises. They knew the word. Each of these men, they could have stood on the word of God and been delivered. In fact, more than likely, multiple times throughout their lives as they were ministering, more than likely, many, many times, each of these men stood on the word of God and saw supernatural deliverances. We just don't know about all of them. These are men that followed the example of Jesus Christ. But when the opportunity presented itself to advance the kingdom of God, these men chose the greater love. They laid down their lives for their friends. They laid down their lives to the advantage of Jesus Christ. It was their choice. These men all lived long lives, some longer than others. That means they were standing on the word of God and they were supernaturally protected. But there came a time when they made a choice. They had the word and they could have stood on the word. Because the word works. The word always works. But they had a choice. Does that make sense? All right, let me just take this a little bit further so you understand John a little bit more. Because it's easy, and I don't want anyone to, if you left last week and you thought to yourself, yeah, but what about when John dies? I want all of us to be clear on this. So here's another thing to consider about John the Baptist. The Bible makes it clear that John had in him the spirit of Elijah. Now, this is what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. You can read the rest, but that's what I want you to see. The word says John the Baptist, that's who it's speaking about, went forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a great man of God, but people forget. Elijah didn't finish his work. God gave Elijah three assignments to do after Elijah had that experience on Mount Carmel. God said there was two kings that he was supposed to anoint and then anoint his own successor. You know what Elijah did? Yeah, he skipped the two kings. He went right to taking care. He got Elijah, his successor, he got him in place. Elijah was essentially saying, God, I'm done. I'm ready to come to the kingdom. Now, God still honored him because we see that Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. God still honored him. But Elijah didn't finish his work. Now, John the Baptist, we're said, in him is the same spirit of Elijah. Now, understand, John did finish all the things that God had for him to do. But John had that spirit of Elijah. So John had that same desire for the heavenly kingdom more than he desired being in this natural kingdom. John had the desires, because he had that same spirit in him, the spirit of Elijah. And you know, that's not that unusual either. I mean, think about it. It's not just John that we can talk about with this. I mean, when you read Paul makes it clear. Paul said that he struggled between his desire to stay here in this life and teach and minister. He struggled between his desire to stay here and his desire to be in heaven with Jesus. It was a struggle. This is the same thing that we see. So when you see John the Baptist, when you read about John the Baptist in prison after he got his answer from Jesus, read the text. Just read the way things flow. When you see John the Baptist in prison after he got his answer from Jesus, you get no sense whatsoever of John wrestling or struggling. In fact, even his antagonist, Herod, said he enjoyed listening to John. That means that John is still there. He's still preaching the word. He's still sharing. He's still representing God. John's not morose in prison. John's not feeling sorry for himself. John is continuing to serve God. So when we look at the promises, you can stand on the promises. Jesus gave John the Baptist a word that he could stand on. He gave John the Baptist a word for deliverance. He said, blessed is the one who does not stumble or who is not offended because of Jesus, because of the word. Now, we saw earlier, in part, what the word blessed meant. Now, let's look at what the rest of that word, blessed, meant. Because when you look it up in the Greek, blessed also means one who is fully satisfied no matter what the circumstances. John was fully satisfied once he had Jesus' answer. Once he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and once he knew that he didn't have to look for another, once he knew that he had paved the way, he prepared the way for the Messiah, he had completed his call, John was blessed. John was fully satisfied, even in those circumstances, in prison. John did his duty. John did his duty, and just like Elijah before him, John's now ready. He's ready for the kingdom of God. So the promises that we see, the promises that we have from the word of God, those words, the word always works, always works. You can't look at examples like Paul and Peter and Stephen and John the Baptist and say, well, it didn't work for them. Yeah, it did. It did. We probably didn't see how many times it did. But they had their choices. John had the word that he could have stood on. John had a word that he could stand on. And you have a word that's even better. You have a word that is even greater. Because after John's disciples left Jesus, Jesus said to those that he was speaking to, he said, John the Baptist is the greatest man born of a woman up until now. That's pretty high praise. But then the next thing, and remember, John's disciples are gone. The next thing that Jesus says to those who are assembled there, and I guarantee when I read this, Jesus is speaking this. When you read this in the Bible, Jesus is speaking this to you more than he was to those who were hearing it. Because at that point, Jesus was not yet victorious. This is a truth that is for you. So he said that John the Baptist was the greatest man born of a woman up until that time. But then the next thing that he says is in Matthew 11, verse 11, assuredly, there is no doubt about it. End of story. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. If I am the least Christian in the kingdom of God, I still have greater power and authority than John, who Jesus said was the greatest man. He says he was greater than Elijah. He was greater than David. He was greater than Moses. He was greater than Abraham. He was greater than Elijah. He's greater than Isaiah. He's greater than all of them. Jesus said John is the best, and it's not even close. The one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. The word that you have and the promises that you have. So when you read the word and you speak the word out loud and you stand on the word, you have greater power and authority because you have the power and the authority of the victorious Jesus. John had a word that he could have stood on and he could have been delivered. But the word that you have, the word that you have is more powerful than the word that John had. And so we should stand on the word, for every promise that is in this word, no exceptions, end of the story, end of the matter, it's done. Whatever your need is, just like I did that day, go to the word, let the Holy Spirit show you. I was amazed how fast the Holy Spirit showed me. Again, it was like six different scriptures that he gave me that I could stand on. And for the next 3 days, I stood on those verses and I spoke those verses out loud. You have a greater word. Speak the word. Speak the word in faith and stand on the word. If it's finances, if it's health, if it's emotional needs, if it's your job, if it's your relationships, whatever the need is, there's a promise that's in here for you. Stand on the word. Speak the word in faith and continue to stand on the word, because if you continue to stand, the circumstances will line up with the word of God. It is the only possible outcome if you continue to stand on the word of God. So I'm going to give you an illustration from this, from history. I get to give you two historical references in 3 weeks. It makes me very happy. But this is a reference that I love because it really points out exactly what we're saying. This is why I love history. Because if we look at history through the lens of the word of God, the beauty of it is, you will always see the principles of the Word of God played out in history. Whether men realize it or not, they are living out the Word of God. So, the War of 1812, the final battle of the War of 1812, which, by the way, the War of 1812 was America's second war of independence against England. The final battle of the War of 1812 was the Battle of New Orleans. And the Battle of New Orleans made... It was a victory for the Americans, and it made the defender of New Orleans, Andrew Jackson, famous. And it's really from the Battle of New Orleans that Andrew Jackson became so popular and eventually became our seventh president. Now, here's what makes the Battle of New Orleans so ironic. The Battle of New Orleans was fought 2 weeks after the War of 1812 was over. The Treaty of Ghent had been signed already. It was signed in Europe. The combatants across the ocean didn't know that it was signed yet because of how slow news traveled back in the early 1800s. So they fought a battle for a war that had already been won. Now the British arrogantly assumed that they'd have an easy victory because they outnumbered the Americans about 3-1. The British attacked, and the outcome was an overwhelming victory for the Americans. The British lost some 2,000 men. The Americans, 7 men died. That's it. 6 were injured. That's it. It was an overwhelming victory. It was an awesome and amazing victory for America. It was a battle that was fought in a war that had already been won. The same thing is true for the spiritual battles that you and I face every single day. The battle's already been won. Jesus has already defeated Satan and anything he brings to your life that's contrary to the word. Jesus has already defeated Satan at the cross. The victory is already ours. You have the power and the authority in Jesus' name to speak his word in faith, to stand on the word, and to see and to possess the victories that are yours in Jesus Christ to your good and to his glory. You have that within you. The war that Satan is waging against you is already lost. It's already been decided. But just like the war of 1812, battles will still rage after the final conflict. Because this is what Satan will do. Satan will instigate a battle against you in the hopes that you won't stand on the word. In the hopes that you will retreat from the victorious battlefield that is already yours. But we need to be just like those Americans. We need to be resolute. Be resolute in the word of God. Be resolute in the word and stand on the word of God. And when you see circumstances in your life that are contrary to the promises that are there, if it's contrary to the promises, then it's a lie. You stand on the word. You stand on the word and you speak the word and you continue to stand, you continue to speak until your circumstances line up with the word. Because the war has already been won, but we still have to stand in the battle. You know, when you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's that great story there of those three armies that were arrayed against Israel. We're going to be leaving a week from Monday. We're leaving for Israel. One of the places we're going to be is Tekoa. We're going to stand and look at that field where those three armies were arrayed against Israel. They came against Israel, and God told Jehoshaphat, he said, "You send the praisers out." And the praisers went out and stood in battle, before all the men of God, before all the warriors. The praisers stood out there and they praised God. And with that praise, God moved through that praise and caused such confusion amongst the three armies, they all destroyed each other. They didn't have to do anything. They just stood and they praised. You have the word of God. Speak the word and stand on the word. And you continue to speak the word and stand on the word. Because there are battles and we have to stand for the battles. But the victory, the war, has already been won. So you stand on the word and you speak the word. That is your duty. The duty is yours. The results are God's. Amen? You guys receive that? Then let's stand up and praise him like we really receive that and believe that.